You're listening to the All Day Ruck Off Podcast, episode number 57. Welcome to the All Day Ruck Off Podcast, episode number 57. This is your host, Brian, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. The All Day Ruck Off podcast focuses on the rucking and GRT community and features interviews, motivation, and advice to get you ready for your next event. This episode is with Gorik Kadre DS, and I called him to talk about the recent Gorik Expedition events that he had led. If you are not aware, Gorik Expedition is one of the three newest Gorik survival events, right alongside Constellation and Immersion. So we had a recent podcast episode with someone who finished both Expedition 6 and Expedition 12. This episode is with a cadre that led at Expedition 6 and 12. And it's pretty fun because I set up the call after he ran his first expedition set of events. And we actually had the call after he had led his second set of events. So he's got some good advice and some good stories to share there. In addition, we talk about an upcoming event that he was going to lead that night, which was a back-to-back-to-back tough, light, tough event in New York, which was pretty cool. I've heard of the triple toughs, triple lights, tough toughs, tough lights, but had never heard of the tough, light, tough before, so we definitely have a fun conversation around that. As always, I want to give some thanks to those who have taken time to leave a review on either Apple Podcasts or on our Facebook page. This week's review is from Facebook. 5-star review from Stacy, who says, "A toy store for adults, not that kind of adult. Keep it clean." Thank you, Stacy, for taking the time to leave that. I truly appreciate it. That's most likely in reference to the online store that we run at alldayruckoff.com/store. If you've never visited that, now's a great time to give it a look. We've got a lot of gear curated by us, obviously, that is focused on the rucking community. And it's either prepping you for your next event or rucking related shirts and hats, all that good stuff, alldayruckoff.com/store. If you want to support the podcast, as always, you can leave a review on either iTunes or on our Facebook page. It's all truly appreciated, and they are a joy to read. If you are registered for an Operation Red Wings Gorik event this weekend, good luck. It should be quite the series of events, and I hope you have a great time out there and finish. I would love to hear how they go. As always, you can send an email to me at Brian, spelled B-R-I-A-N, at alldayruckoff.com. Final announcement, charitychallenges.org. We've got the summer event coming up soon. That's going to be starting on August 1st. We've got a cool patch design for it. So registration should be open soon. Just head on over to charitychallenges.org. Thanks so much again for all of the incredible support and for tuning in. Here is the interview with Gorik Kadre DS. So you're in New York right now hanging out because you've got an Independence Day tough, light, tough this weekend.
Yes, sir.
That is wild. So it's not a custom event. It's just standard being put on. Man, how did you get roped into doing this?
Well, I volunteered to come up here and lead it out. And I think when I was requesting the events, I might have just clicked and clicked and clicked, and I hadn't been to New York City before for an event, so it was pretty attractive. And the last time I was out here, my brother and sister were spending some time, and I came up to visit them, and I was the worried big brother, so I haven't been up since I was 15 and a half when my dad made me drive over here the day after I got my learner's permit. So it's a great opportunity, and I should have a lot of fun tonight.
That's awesome. So we're recording this on a Friday, so tonight is the tough. That index is probably tomorrow around sometime mid-morning, and then does the light start at the typical time?
Yeah, so it'll be the standard tough light time frame, and then the Sunday tough, it will start at 7 a.m. And run through the day.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that should be really fun. And I actually got some great intel, and I can let you in on a little secret if you want.
Yeah, this is going to go live after the event, so no one will know.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so as I was strolling through Central Park and doing my route recon this morning, I realized that the New York City Triathlon is going on this weekend. And so, man, what better to showcase than an amazing endurance event than to kind of mirror what they're doing. And so a lot of the route that the Tough on Sunday is going to be taking will be the triathlon, minus the swim, but I'll do my best to find somewhere where we can get wet. And man, the expedition last weekend, we started the 12-hour expedition with a mile swim. So that was nobody was expecting that, and it ended up being an absolutely awesome time.
That's awesome. So that expedition you ran last weekend, was that the second set of expedition events you've run?
Yes, it was. So that was the second one that I've ran, but I think the third that GoRuck has ran. I know that there was another one in New Hampshire, I believe, and it ran by Cleve and Kadri Mickey. So,
yeah. I talked to one of the participants out there. He said it was a pretty good event.
Oh yeah.
So how did you get roped into the whole expedition event series? Is that something that you were looking to get involved with, or did the stars just align?
Yeah, well, as always, the stars just align and fall into the right places for all of us. But after I had done the Ascent event with Chris Way, I had talked to Todd Fetzer a little bit more, also known as Kadri Fury, and he briefed me up that he had sent up to HQ another idea for a different series of events of more of the survival taste, and he wanted to know if I was into it. I totally was, and so there was birthed the expedition style, and with that, you know, you can look at it in a couple different ways, and we will over the course of all these events, you know, tie in whether it is a downed aircraft or, hey man, you just end up in the middle of nowhere and something goes wrong. And, whether you're in a foreign country or, hey, you are flying somewhere and your plane gets knocked out of the sky and you end up in the woods and disoriented, how do you fix it? And so, I fell right into it, and it was a natural fit for what we're already doing. So a lot of the skills are transferable, and it's really just getting out and getting people outside the comfort zone and improving their confidence a little bit every time.
That's great. That is great. So how long did you work prepping these events before you ran your first expedition event, which I believe coincided with the first event in New Hampshire?
Yeah, it ended up being the first day, and coincidentally, it ended up being the launch of the 50 miler in Washington, D.C. So a lot of people had a tough decision to make when it came time to either go north or go south or go to D.C. and ruck in the rain out there. But as far as like prep time, we've got a certain curriculum that we are going to teach every time, and really the location and everything that's coming into it dictates what we do and what we really focus on, whether it's more land nav heavy or if we want to get more survival skills heavy, whether we want to like kill rabbits and go through like a foraging class, or you know, catch some fish, or do a ropes skills course. It really just depends on where it's at. So, you know, just like every other GoRuck event, you're not going to get a cookie cutter experience at all. And we could run another event down in Charlotte and it would be night and day different than what we just did. Same thing with Traverse City as well. You know, and when I show up and I start planning these things weeks, months out, we don't really know exactly how it's going to shake out until we're boots on the ground. And that's how missions go. But we have a set course that we want to do and then make it happen.
And I think that's one of my favorite things about GoRuck events in general, and then the Constellation Survival, this whole survival series, is that you do one event and you're not done. You can do another one and you can have an entirely different experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really cool how it's laid out that way. So your first expedition event, did you run both the Expedition 6 and the Expedition 12?
Yes.
And that first event, that was in Charlotte?
Yeah, it ended up being a little south of Charlotte, and it was actually in South Carolina where we ended up. But just outside of Charlotte.
That's awesome. Did anyone co-cadre that event with you?
Yeah, it was Chris Way.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, man, no doubt. I was really excited when that came about.
I've talked to Chris a ton on the phone, and I've yet to have our paths cross, but I'm hoping 2018 is the year. I got to make it happen.
Yeah, flying into Denver, it's only a short flight away from you.
Yeah, it's not bad. So
I actually just sent Chris a text last night and told him how much I need to come out and train with him even more, because man, it's always an adventure. And since I last talked to you, boy, we got ourselves into some crazy situations, and I've definitely gotten uncomfortable a couple times outside of co-rec events. But man, it was real.
Oh, that's wild. Yeah, every time I talk to him, he's always driving from something crazy that he's done. I always end up catching him on his like long car rides where he's been out shooting or been out doing something. He's always got stories.
Well, yeah, the guy drives an hour to go shoot a mile away, and he's actually pretty dang good at it as well.
That's what I hear. So he's out there with you for these Expedition 6 and the Expedition 12 event. You've planned this event out months in advance, like you do with these styles of events, and then you figure everything out when you get boots on the ground. When you got to that first start location, would you say that were you more excited to do the event than you were planning it out?
Yeah. I mean, I get excited just kind of seeing everything come together, and it's really exciting as we're doing it, right? I mean, I can plan it and have everything laid out in advance of when the timeline's going to happen, but until we're actually like in it, then the excitement really hits.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I didn't know if cadre went through the same thing that participants go through. It's always a little rough getting all the gear together and stuff, but as soon as you get to that starting point, or as soon as you get to the start location, like everything just vanishes and you're just so excited to go.
Well, yeah, and I get most excited after we do something that briefs, and as cadre, we're talking about it, and we always measure out, is it going to be safe? Is it going to be fun? Is it going to be effective? And so, after the entire evolution happens and nobody gets hurt, everybody has fun, that's when I'm excited. And I think we nailed that perfectly for the Charlotte event, and even the follow on after, after we had patched everybody out, and that's is mission success to me. So.
Makes total sense. So what are some of your favorite parts about that Charlotte event? I really haven't heard too much about it, because it seemed like that 50 miler in DC, the coverage for that kind of overshadowed those first expedition events. So I would love to hear some of the stuff that happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, great things are not always going to be all over social media. And, if a tree falls in the woods and does it make a sound or not, I don't know. But I'll tell you, the 6 hour guys will always have a different experience than the 12 hour guys. And we do. And just like we did in Traverse City, we don't do anything nearly the same and really almost take it in a different direction. But the guys who do it the 6 hour have more experience at that point and can then teach and relay their knowledge that they just learned to everybody else coming in for the 12 hour. So things that, are memorable to me is, constructing rope bridges and working through some high angle ropes problems, either getting over a water obstacle, whether it be a river or a lake, getting over some terrain that wouldn't be necessarily passable for an entire team, or, moving equipment over a rope bridge. And then other things like, hey, we catch a rabbit in a snare and then how do we process that rabbit? And some of the people in the first expedition, I think one of the one of the ladies actually had a pet rabbit, and she didn't really come into the expedition thinking that she was going to end up having the opportunity to eat one. But yeah, that's real life. And if you're hungry, you're going to go outside of your comfort zone.
Absolutely. And wow, that's wild. So were those both exercises that occurred in Expedition 12, or did those happen in 6 as well?
So 6 is kind of learning the skills up to it, and for the ropes, yes. For the dinner time activities, they hadn't quite worked up the hunger yet for the 6 hour, so we saved that exercise for the 12. But yeah, everybody from the 6 got some good rope skills as well.
That's awesome. The participants who showed up for the 6, what percentage would you say stuck around for the 12?
I'd say over half. And it's been interesting now seeing two different venues. And we actually had people from the 6 say, wow, that was awesome, I want more. And then go back to their cars in between the couple hour break and sign up for the 12, which I think, you know, that's so cool. And really, really gives me goosebumps just thinking about it, like, wow. But man, for the Traverse City, I know that we had at least 10 of the 12 people roll right into the next one as well.
That's a great number.
Yeah, pretty good percentage. You know, I'd look at percentages as numbers, as people go into it, because, man, we'd like to have 20, 30, 40 people in the class, but sometimes getting across the message and all the teaching points and working in small teams can be extremely effective as well. So, you know, I thought for having that many people there and that many people roll into the next one, that was huge.
Yeah, that's a huge percentage. And just on top of that, the fact that you could just produce such a good class in the Expedition 6 that people afterwards went to their car and paid more money to do the 12. I mean, that speaks volumes right there.
Well, you know, I think for a lot of these people, you don't necessarily know what you're going to get into. And you know, maybe it could be as simple as who shows up. And man, like, I know if I'm going to invest in myself, I want to make sure I know what I'm getting myself into. And so that's totally understandable from a participant point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know what you want to be getting into. I think a lot of people personally would say that was an awesome experience. Next time Expedition comes through, I'll sign up for the 12. But I guess just what really struck me is the fact that they, you know, they might have had plans later that day. They might not have, but, you know, they said that this was such a good experience that, like, screw whatever is going on, I'm going to drop however much it is to sign up 2 hours before the event starts just so I can get more knowledge.
Yeah.
That's wild. So how many Expedition events are you going to be leading this year?
Well, so far, I only have those two on the schedule that I had already done. I know there's another one coming up in Lake Tahoe, which, man, I really wish I could make it out for. But I have another obligation that I signed up for, and it's actually going to be 2 weeks of training down in the little Cayman Islands and down in Miami with Force Blue, and so that is preventing me from leading the expedition in Lake Tahoe. But I know that Kadri Shredder is going to be out there leading that, and I had to do some soul searching and kind of eat that one. A severe case of FOMO was happening with me.
Yeah, no kidding. And Kadri Shredder was the cadre who you did the last expedition with, right?
Yes, he was. Yeah, him and Wild Will.
So there were 3 out for that one.
Yeah, Will came down for it, and he was just a quick little jump over from where he lives at, so it was an easy trip out for him. But Shredder had to make a long distance trip from California, so it's a great time.
Yeah, I bet. I've done a number of events with Shredder, and he's always an awesome person to do events with. The ones I've done with him have been the historical side. I did 4th of July with him and then Bataan. But I would imagine that he would be equally as good in the expedition events as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So for these expedition events, what level of fitness do you think people need to register?
You asked what level of fitness do they need?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, for a challenge and a light, you know, you need to be able to do push-ups, you need to be able to rock, you need to, you know, be a certain level of fitness. What would you say the equivalent would be for the expedition events?
I wouldn't necessarily say any more or any less. And really, you show up with what you have. And, man, nobody cares how much you can deadlift if you are thrown into a survival situation. And so there's less emphasis on fitness, but you can do more the more fit you are, right? So if I can condition your body to be able to do more sit-ups or be able to do, you know, sit-ups, whatever, it's an exercise, right? But if I can train you to be healthier, to be able to run further, faster, well, then we can train harder and we can put you in more precarious situations so that you can figure it out. And then the level of training elevates because of how much you can actually do. And so, you know, hey, there is a certain level of fitness that you're going to need to overcome a mile swim before you start what could potentially, what's going to be the rest of a 12-hour event. You know, so there's not necessarily a prerequisite, but the better off you show up, the more fun you're going to be able to have.
I mean, that's like the case with a lot of things in life.
Oh, yeah.
The way I think about it now, after asking that, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you're overweight and out of shape, that doesn't mean disasters and plane crashes aren't going to befall you just because you're overweight and out of shape. You still have to know how to survive with what you've got.
Sure.
It makes complete sense that you would still want to sign up for a class on how to survive some of those disasters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you said, you know, the better in shape you are, the less, you know, calories you expend as you move over distance. So someone who's rolling in at, you know, 150 or 175 pounds is probably going to be burning less walking a mile than someone who's coming in at 300, 350. So you'll sure. just have that much of a better chance at surviving whatever's going on.
Yeah, definitely. And I just had a conversation with a guy that did a tough in Charleston with me, and he's preparing to do a heavy. It'll be his first heavy in December, and we'll plan on doing it out in Nashville. And he said, "Hey, what can I do to prepare for this?" Well, man, get the best health that you can, right? Drop the extra 20 pounds that you're carrying around. Focus on your diet as much as you're focusing on how much you're crushing yourself. And then you're going to enjoy the event so much more because you're that much better in shape. And that you'll look back at it at the event and say, wow, I really prepared really well for that. And I was disciplined and now I'm healthier and my capacity is better. Your capacity to handle workload is increased. I think there's something special about that.
I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. And it's funny because that mirrors a lot of a conversation Chris Way and I had where we were talking about high performance gear and spending thousands of dollars to shave a couple ounces on pieces of gear. And his solution is, why don't you just go out and run and lose a couple of ounces, save the money?
yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got 20 pounds to lose and you're carrying 20 pounds for a Goric light and you lose that 20 pounds and you put that weight in there, I mean, you're going to be in a lot better situation than if you had kept the weight and added the plate. I mean, it's going to be like a wash, but you'll be a lot more strong physically, so.
Sure, well, everybody's on their own journey with that, and that everybody's on their own bell curve, right?
Absolutely.
So wherever you end up, right, get the best gear, and it just so happens to have the same price tag on it, and good gear is going to be, it's worth it, right? But man, if you can take care of those other little intangibles and prepare your body and your mind correctly, that's worth a lot as well.
It is. It is.
And it's funny, I see some of my friends, like, you know, they either gain a lot of weight or they lose a lot of weight. Man, just find what works best for you. But you know, that's going to look very healthy. And that applies to rule number one, right? Looking cool. You always look cool if you're, doing cool things and reaching to the top of the mountain.
Absolutely. And I mean, I wasn't always in good shape. Right now, my 2 mile time is the same as my 1 mile time was in high school. So
wow.
It's I haven't, you know.
You're just getting better with age though, Brian.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I'm doing the reverse of most people. Most people, they were in shaping in high school and lose it afterwards, but I'm flipping that.
Good, good.
It's more fun now. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, everyone's got their own adventure. So I want to touch on something you mentioned briefly, a 1 mile swim before the start of expedition. You mentioned a lot of people were surprised at that. Where did the idea for this 1 mile swim come from, and how did everyone handle it?
Well, when Shredder and I showed up, we knew that we wanted to cover a lot of different skill sets. And you know, if you end up in the middle of nowhere, you might have to cross a lake, or you might have to cross a river, and you don't get to choose where you are when the emergency happens. And so, you know, we read the terrain and read the ground, and then set forth a plan that we could do it as safely as possible. And so, you know, it was right there. And it was a good teaching opportunity, because we were able to teach, you know, hey, if we have a lake where we're around, we're going to set some fishing lines and try to get the bellies full, right? And we also like to teach how we can make a flotation device out of your rucksack, and without, you know, getting too far into the immersion side of things. Man, like, I live right next to a big body of water, and I want to be able to cross it, whether a boat or not. And so I think getting people outside of their comfort zone right away. And one of the big fundamentals that we teach in the survival is, hey, like, I don't want to get wet. And if I am wet, how can I get warm as fast as possible? And so a better way to kind of lead into a class about making fire and getting out of the danger zone, then put you in that position and get you cold and wet. And so distance is distance. We're going to cover how we do. And so we went over how to make a couple hasty boats, and using what you might be carrying or should be carrying in your ruck, and lashing everything together. And then the team moved out, and in classic fashion, we made a little race between Kedre Will and Kedre myself, well, Kedre DS's team, and we got after it.
That sounds like a ton of fun.
It was. I think everybody had a great time with it, and we also had a couple of people that didn't know how to swim at all, and it just so happened to both end up on my team, so that was awesome.
So did people have any type of flotation devices or anything to keep them afloat? I mean, these people who don't know how to swim. And then the follow-up on that is, what was the water depth?
Well, we weren't scuba diving, so I don't really know what the depth was. I don't think it was that deep.
But it wasn't like 3 feet. It wasn't you could stand.
I couldn't touch.
Okay.
I'll say that. I couldn't touch the whole time and until like the very end. And then, yeah, we provide some flotation methods that we are teaching in our events. So maybe if you want to figure it out, sign up for an event with one of us.
Perfect. And the last time I talked to Kedre Mickey, he kept driving home, you know, the mindset. You have to have the mindset and be in the mindset when you're training, so that you can take it seriously. And I can't think of a better way than to, you know, get everyone freezing cold from swimming in the water and then making them start a fire to get warm.
Yeah, no doubt. It hits you right in the mindset.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right away. So how much time was there between the Expedition 6 and the Expedition 12?
I think we had about 3 hours.
So was that enough time for people to, did most people change clothes, grab something to eat? Is there enough time to do that kind of stuff?
Well, for this last one, we actually ended the 6 hour event at where we were going to set up our base camp at for the 12. And so part of their responsibilities was to set up a fire and get it going and do some patrol based activities. And then we did give them some time to refit and rekit a little bit, but yeah, we definitely need a little break to kind of go over everything. And I can't promise that they'll always be like that for everybody, but that's how they've been so far. So you might be looking at a expedition B 18 or so.
Yeah. I mean, that's really wild that, you know, to run them together like that, set up base, do a patrol. That's really cool. Keep everyone in the mindset, you know?
That's right.
So it sounds like, I mean, you've just had an awesome time coming up with things to do at these events and running these events. Are you having as much fun as you thought you would?
Oh my gosh. I think I'm having way more fun than I thought I was going to.
That's always good to hear.
Yeah.
I noticed that there aren't any 24 events on the calendar yet. Do you know if there are any in the works, or is that all hush hush?
No. And you know, I think we're starting off with these, with the Expedition 6 and 12. And then as people sign up for them and the demand increases, you'll see some 24s. For instance, I just ran, so the weekend before we did the event in Traverse City, Shredder had me out and we ran a custom land nav heavy, and it was 24 hours in the mountains, and then in the hills, about a hour and a half, 2 hours outside of Los Angeles. And that was very expedition like. But yeah, I mean, 24 hour heavy events, and we have another one that we're planning in Asheville, North Carolina for the winter time. So it's going to be more land nav focused.
That should be fun. Land nav in the winter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, very cool.
The guys that came out and did the event with us out in California, the 24-hour land nav event, that was kind of it started off as a custom event. And I think it'd be really cool to, you know, neck those down to where we do one or two or, you know, a couple a year and really get that focused group of guys that come out and, you know, want to learn, but also want to go the distance as well. And so you know, hopefully we can keep those up and keep them running, but got to have people sign up for it so we can continue doing them.
Absolutely. And that's the name of the game with all the GORC events, it seems, is you've got to, if you want the events to keep coming, you got to keep signing up for them.
Sure. Or just share it, you know, just telling other people about it so that it can be their opportunity. And, you know, maybe if it doesn't work out for you, doesn't mean that it just has to die there, right? Tell your buddies, tell your friends that might be interested in doing it. Because I've had plenty of people that actually, even at the expeditions or even at the constellations, that it's their first event that they've ever done. And so that's the first taste of it. And that's huge too, right? And so you don't need to start with a light, you know, you can start with one of the other events and then let it grow into it. But man, it's really kind of just putting the word out there and helping other people find their way.
Absolutely. And I mean, you definitely don't need to start with a light. I've got, you know, one of my good friends, his first ever GORC event was the first HTL.
And oh, wow.
He's done a lot of stuff since, but I mean, there's no rule that says you have to start with the light. And I think that's been really fun seeing these survival events. At my first constellation, there were a ton of new people there where it was their first event. And I mean, what would you say for the two expeditions you run so far? Were there people there where that was their first experience with the GORC?
Yes, there was. In both events.
That's awesome. That is so cool to hear, because it's, you know, that's definitely a new group that's finding GORC not through their tough endurance events like the light, tough, heavy. It's a whole nother market, I guess, of people who are stumbling upon GORC for the survival aspects.
Right.
So that's awesome.
I agree.
Would you say it's fun working with the people who it's their first taste of GORC are these survival events?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it's cool to start there. But I think kind of vectoring what comes next, you know, inside of this environment that's kind of unknown, and just reassuring that, man, it's way deeper, whether it's, you know, you take a switch to the other side or just keep doing those style. We're going to keep getting people in all the time and new folks and seasoned folks, because there's people that have come out of retirement, you know, to check out this new event because it's new and cool. And then it's a breath of fresh air because it's not just getting crushed on the side of the street somewhere. And so hopefully it can go both ways and maybe even invigorate people to get back in the fight if they've taken some time off.
Yeah. Yeah, I know there's been a number of people I've talked to who have, in quotes, retired from GORUCK events because they don't want to get all the PT in the tough. And then they've come back through these constellation events or other survival events. And then from that, they've signed up again for lights and toughs because they totally forgot, that feeling of accomplishment when you finish those events, and they wanted it again.
There you go. I mean, that's awesome right there. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to get complacent, and then you kind of, forget what that struggle's like in conquering the struggle. So having that taste through these new events, and then it's just, relights the fire.
Yeah, there's some sports psychology in that as well of like, whenever you finish a huge event, and we talked about this last time with like goal setting, and I had just come off my Spartan race out in Iceland, and then looking back at it, and like, every once in a while I find myself in this funk where I'm like, what's next? I just climb this huge mountain and then I'm standing at the top, or I get back in my car and I'm like, it usually happens like a week later where I'm like, oh my gosh, what's next? I'm in this funk. I don't have a goal. I have nothing to work for. I feel like I just did the hardest thing that I could possibly do, and then finding what's next. And so there's this constant cycle of finding the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And for a lot of times, like, man, it might be 180 degrees out of what, you just did. But you've always got to be, breaking the mold yourself and trying new things. And so that's a big factor in event-based training. And I think that I know that I've definitely experienced that in my career, and I'm sure other people had as well. But some guys don't realize it until they're like, oh yeah, that's what happened to me. I just did all these events. Maybe I ended up broken or hurt and it took a huge impact on my training. Well, then how do I get back in it and kind of re-looking at, what else is out there?
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember, when we talked, you had just come off that event, and that was a huge event. I mean, that was a 24-hour Spartan race, right?
It was. Yep.
I mean, that is no small feat.
You know what? I've done a couple of 24-hour events since then, being on the both cadre and participant side. And please go run an event with Cadre Shredder and then talk to me, because what I did in Iceland had nothing when it comes to trying to keep up with that dude for a while. Oh my goodness. Talk about perspective change. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Cadre Shredder. I mean, if you don't know him, his description on the GORUCK website, he's a sleeper. He talks about his grandkids, and I mean,
he's actually a little bit older than my father, which I think is quite funny, but definitely don't sleep on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're listening and you're signed up for an event with Shredder and you read the description online and you saw, oh, he's got grandkids, he must be, mellow and easygoing and just a nice, easy cadre free patch time. That's not the case.
I don't know that there are any free badges. I don't think that's the way that this goes.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either. But GORUCK does a really good job of making sure that everyone earns the patch they get.
Oh yes.
And I mean, that's just goes through the caliber of cadre that they hire for events. So it's awesome. So this year, I mean, you've signed up to lead these expedition events, you're getting into the survival series. I remember when we talked last year, you had been running a lot of toughs and lights and on the challenges side. Have you led less of those events because you've been picking up some of these survival courses, or are you still getting in a lot of lights, toughs, and heavies?
Man, I'm still getting them in. And I think that I don't want to typecast anybody. I think that we are in special operations need to be the jack of all trades and master of none. And so that's kind of the way that my teaching style will go. And so I want to be involved in as much as I can and continue learning and having fun as well. And I got to keep it fresh and fun for myself as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we just talked about, you know, a little bit about event burnout, and I can't think of a better way to avoid that when you're leading events than to just mix it up. Do a light, do a tough light. I mean, you're doing a tough light tough this weekend. This is honestly the first time I've ever heard of, I've heard of, you know, the triple T's, the triple L's. I've never heard of a TLT. So this is very cool.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I upset somebody, but yeah, it's going to be absolute misery for everybody, but we're going to have a great time. I'm I was a childhood big fan of Derek Jeter and the New York Yankees of the early, well, the late 90s and early 2000s. And so this is kind of like a dream come true. We're going to go play some baseball at Yankee Stadium tonight. And then, like I said, you know, hitting this in the New York City triathlon on Sunday. So got an action packed weekend. And then following it up next weekend with a double tough in Boston.
Awesome. And that's, bringing back the double toughs is great. I'm glad Gorick decided to do that, because they were running the TLs for a while, a couple of years, I think, and seeing those, you know, tough toughs on the calendar has been, it's been really cool. So for this TLT, this tough light tough that's going on this weekend, you've seen the list of participants, I'm assuming. Are there a lot of people who are signed up for all three events?
You know, I don't really know that there's that many people that are signed up for all three, and really I kind of like to take it one at a time. And you never know who's gonna knock out all three. It's funny, every heavy that I get into, because, well, usually they're followed by the tough and the light, but I always ask, hey, all right, who's doing all three? And you get almost everybody raising their hand. And then, hey, 24 hours later, who's doing all three? And that's cut down dramatically. So, man, you can sign up for all you want, but you just got to take it one step at a time.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you never really know how you're going to do until you're halfway through it all.
Right.
I just didn't know if, you know, people were planning on it, because I know a lot of people plan for the HTL, get their HTL patch, get their bolts. I didn't know if that this was one of those things where people are, you know, planning on doing a TLT.
I think there are a couple. yeah.
And every time I say it, I feel like I'm going to say BLT. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe we could come up with something like that.
Yeah. So you're running that this weekend. Next weekend, you're running two toughs down in Boston. You're staying very busy.
I am.
Stepping quickly back to the expedition events, do you think that running all of these challenge style events has helped you shape the way that you run your expedition events?
I would say so, and you know, they all kind of feed each other, and it's just different experiences with different folks. But you never know who's going to show up, and so yeah, like organizationally, I would say so.
It makes sense that the skills you would get from one would feed into the other. So on top of all of this, you're still running your gym?
I absolutely am. Well, yeah. And so that's kind of what my life is formed into. And I couldn't be happier with how things are going. Can I give you the rundown real quick?
Please do. I would love it.
All right. So I own Evolution Athletics East, and my great friend, Chris McNamara, he owns Evolution Athletics West. It's just on the west side of Fort Bragg, out in the Pinehurst, Aberdeen area. And so during the week, that's where I'm at, teaching everybody that comes in for classes and running that. And then on top of that, right there in our little slice of heaven right outside of Fort Bragg in Fayetteville, North Carolina, we started what's called the Spring Lake Outpost. And it's basically a kayak and canoe adventure center. And people come down and can rent boats and take it on a 3-mile or 6-mile trip. And then we've got an awesome staff that runs that for us. And then inside of the building, inside of my gym, one of my really good buddies is venturing into, he's starting a yoga studio called Compass Rose Yoga, and designed for warriors and people that are down with climbing mountains and also see the need to put the mind-body connection together. So Compass Rose Yoga. Check it out online. And then on top of that, in another space of the building, we're connected with a company called Cactus Creek Coffee. And they've been open for a long time now. He's a former 18 series guy, so an old SF guy that got out in the early 90s and got into roasting coffee. And so it's a local roaster right there to Aberdeen, North Carolina. Great coffee. If you haven't tried it, I'll have to get a bag in the mail for you. But just, we've created our own little slice of heaven. I don't know what more you need: fitness, coffee, yoga, and then getting outside and having fun. So that's what my, and then that's during the week, and then I get to travel and have a great time on the weekend. And I've got a great staff that runs the gym and keeps the wheels on when I'm off playing around with Go Ruck. So I'm pretty pleased with how things are going right now.
That's phenomenal. Congratulations, man.
Yeah, well, you know, it comes with its ups and downs, but man, we're kicking ass and taking names. So I've built a great team, and I've got an amazing partner that helps keep you squared away, and I'm having a great time.
Sure sounds like it.
Yeah.
So the last time we talked, you had mentioned that you were getting into potentially doing some, you know, online coaching style stuff if people were looking for training plans or virtual coaching. Are you still doing that at all?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Had a couple, one guy that he actually did HTL the weekend that I was doing my shadow cadre, and we linked up randomly in the street in Nashville, and I coached him for about a year. He lost weight, gained strength, and has absolutely been crushing it. And then got married, went on his honeymoon, and had enough fitness to do amazing adventures out there, and didn't really get into any more Go Ruck events yet. But man, he came out and did a tough with me in kind of the middle of it, and on a whim ended up walking a marathon. And then yeah, I've trained a couple other guys since then. He was gone on to complete a couple heavies and pretty impressive events. So yeah, that's something that we totally do, and is remote athlete coaching and providing either individual design programs or just, you know, a baseline program for somebody that is looking to increase their speed, strength, endurance, and kind of have the total package.
And if people are listening and they're interested in this, how can they reach out to you or learn about, you know, the virtual programs?
So evolutionathleticsnc.com or Facebook is probably the best way to get a hold of any of us and just start having the conversation.
Perfect. And I'll put links to that in the show notes.
Yeah. Thank you.
For sure. Thank you. So your gym is located now, you know, next to a yoga studio.
Yeah. So it's actually right inside, and I've got a 8,000 square foot building just outside of Fort Bragg, and the front space is where our yoga studio is.
And so one of the things that I introduced in my training probably two and a half years ago was a bunch of stretching and yoga. And I found that that's just helped a ton with recovery.
Yes.
Are you someone who, you know, takes part in yoga as well?
I am. Yeah, absolutely. And I always get a kick out of the guys that are too tough to do that until they blow something out or they rip their hamstring off. I'm a huge fan of doing yoga and just trying to balance, get everything balanced and relaxation, because I do enough high intensity stuff that's an awesome form, another form of that. And it was actually my mom that taught me, you know, with every martial arts form, whether it's like Kung Fu or Taekwondo or Karate, there is another alternate form of yoga. So it's kind of that yin yang. It kind of gets in the hippie side of things, but kind of cool perspective on that. So yeah, I'm absolutely a firm believer in adding that into your practice to help with longevity and recovery.
That's good to hear. That's awesome. I didn't know that there was an alternate yoga practice for martial arts.
Yeah, my mom was she was trying to sell me on the alternate to like he was like Bondo or something like that, like where guys are scraping things along their shins to for body hardening. And so I thought that was pretty interesting. But
yeah. Yeah, I was in not my last Muay Thai gym, but the gym before that was fairly traditional, and they would use bamboo poles and stuff like that to condition the shins. It was something else.
I'm going to start doing that at my events too, carrying around a piece of bamboo to just smack people with.
Yeah, yeah, just crack their shins a couple times, and it's body hardening. Yeah, that is something else. But yeah, it's been wild introducing, yoga and just stretching. I've been very surprised at the tangible benefits, especially related to recovery from the high intensity workouts I do and from just the GoWork events I do. I find myself recovering a lot quicker.
I think we talked last time about the adaptation versus annihilation training, right?
I think so, but do you want to run through it for those who are listening and didn't listen to our last episode?
Yeah, I mean, hey, like a good training program should be focused on adaptation, and you can only recover from what you can recover from. And so, if you're just starting all of your workout programs and judging it off of how crushed you are at the end of it, it's not going to last that long. You're not going to be able to adapt to the training. And so we want to offer that minimum effective dose, right, of training stimulus so that you can grow from it and not feel like every day is an absolute beat down. And so hopefully, inside of your training program, whatever it is, I really don't care what it is, as long as it's working for you and you're not hurt and you're happy and all of your other aspects of your life are happy. Train to adapt, not to just crush yourself. That should be a big part of your program.
Agreed. And when people come to me and they ask, or they say, I did a GoWork Tough event and I was, sore for a week and a half or 2 weeks afterwards, what can I do to avoid that? And I ask them, how often do you stretch or how often do you do yoga? And they say, never. Like, well, that's a good start right there.
Right. Well, and soreness doesn't equal strong, right? Soreness just means you're not getting enough protein in. So bump up your dietary needs and then don't do so much eccentric loading. But yeah. And so if you're just crushed, then you got to slowly adapt into that. And every GoWork event, it's not necessarily shouldn't necessarily be part of your training event unless you're using that to get further into a skill, like some of the GRTs, like Donovan or Hurtado, that's going out to try to do selection again. Man, he's using events to prepare for other events, which I think is awesome. But man, you gotta dial that into your overall training plan so you can reach that end state goal.
Absolutely. And all that depends on what your final goal is. People who are, training for a marathon can use 10Ks and half marathon runs as training. And that's, sure, completely different than people who are training for a half marathon. They shouldn't be using half marathons for their training. They should be using, 5Ks and 10Ks. And
right,
it all depends. If your goal is selection, then it makes perfect sense to use heavies and toughs to train up for it. But if your goal is light or a tough, then it doesn't make sense to use heavies and toughs to train for that.
Right. Well, are you going to come out and do the expedition out in Seattle with me?
Do we have one lined up?
I believe so. Yeah. It's through F3. And I don't think the date is nailed down yet, but it's coming up.
I've heard about that and I'm definitely planning on it. I'm very excited when I heard that. No, that you mentioned it. Yes. When you're coming back, it's in, I think they're planning in November, and I'm very excited.
Perfect.
Yeah, it'll be great to see you for longer than just the event. That was pretty crazy last time.
Yeah, that was.
For those who are listening and did not listen to the last interview I did with Kadri Diaz, check the show notes. I'll have a link to it. But we go over his last trip to Seattle, which was the craziest, most whirlwind experience I've ever heard of a trip to Seattle in my entire life. It was insane.
So I will be doing everything I can to avoid something happening like that this time.
That sounds good. Well, I'm gonna have to check my calendar. I'll reach out to the F3 guys out here, whoever's queue on it, and figure out what the date is so I can get that nailed down, because I would love to absolutely go to that event.
Sounds great.
Man, so we've covered GoRock Expedition and running those events. We've covered the TLT and everything that you've got going on with your gym and everything surrounding your slice of paradise out there. Is there anything else that we might have missed or that you want to talk about?
Not really. And if we do, we can set up another phone call. And
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you're one of the guys that it's so fun to talk to. You're such a, you know, a positive force, and you've got so much positivity that you spread when you talk about training for stuff and the events that you run and your outlook, that, you know, it's just, it's awesome having you on the podcast. I really do. I truly appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Try to keep having fun, doing my best.
Well, thank you. And thank you for spreading that fun throughout our community.
Oh, yes.
I know everyone who does events with you loves it. And I mean, it's awesome. You know, F3 Rucking grabbed you to, you know, there's a reason why I'm sure they pulled you to come out for the Seattle event. So it's very cool. Yeah. Keep doing what you're doing, Kadra Diaz.
Thanks, man.
We all truly appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're just all playing our roles, right? We're trying to have a great time.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast. This has been episode number 57, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. I had a great time talking with Kadra Diaz, and hopefully if you're on the fence about a GoRock Expedition event, this helps you decide one way or the other on if it's right for you. To me, they sound incredibly fun. I think that's really cool how he's been building them out so that if you do the 6, it kind of goes into the 12, where you establish a base and then you have to kind of do patrols and defend it during the off time between the two events. It's a really cool idea, and I'm excited to see where that goes. If you're interested in anything we talked about during the interview, you can check out the show notes at alldayruckoff.com/podcast/episode-057, where we've got links to pretty much everything we talked about during the show. The GoRock events, Kadra Diaz's gym, and how you can contact him for training. If you want to support the podcast, as always, we'd love reviews on either iTunes or Facebook. Just search for All Day Ruck Off. Those are truly, truly appreciated. Thank you so much for the incredible support. I'm very excited about next week's interview, which will be with Christian Griffith about his Run to Heal run across America. I think it's a really cool thing that he's doing. So that is coming next week. Thank you again for the support. And remember, attitude is everything. Keep yours positive and drink hard, ruck harder.